April 27th, 2021. We're in Masechet Sanhedrin and Daf Kaftet Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. It's about 16 lines from the top. The Mishnah begins, it says, Kesad bodkim et ha'edim. Now the Mishnah later on in the Masechet will describe in the context of dine nefashot, if it's a life and death circumstance and judgment, how we have dirisha and hakira, a full system of checking the witnesses to make sure that they're telling the truth. Over here we're dealing with dine mamonot, financial issues, disputes or circumstances. Here it's a little bit lighter, but we still check them. We still want to make sure that they're telling the truth. Says the Mishnah, what we would do is, as judges, hayu machnisin otan leheder. Initially, you would bring in those witnesses, in the case that was, into a room. Ume'ayemin alehem. And you would threaten them. The Gemara will give you exactly, or basically, what sort of threat you would give them. What sort of threat are you dealing with? You want to make sure they understand the severity of the circumstance. You want to make sure they're not just being paid off to lie in court. You want to make sure they're actually telling the truth, so you give them threats. Umosi'in et kol adam lahutz. And then you'd remove anyone who was there, present with them in the initial stage, from the room. So you're going to speak directly and squarely to them. It doesn't mean that the litigants are not in the room. It means that others, the onlookers, are not in the room. So everyone else has moved outside. U'mishayirin et ha-gadol shebahen. And you leave in front of you, as the judges, the greatest. That doesn't necessarily mean the oldest. It means the greatest in stature of these witnesses. So you have two witnesses, but the first one, the one who's, I don't know, has more credentials to his name. And you say to him initially, Omrim lo, Emor he'ach ata yodea sheze hayav lize. Please tell us, how do you know that Peloni, that Reuven, owes Shimon money? How are you aware of that? Because we want to make sure that you have the circumstance straight, that you have your details right, that everything's correct. Im amar hu, im amar, if the witness, if their aid responds, hu amar li shani hayav lo, ish peloni amar li shu hayav lo. If he says one of the two following circumstances, either he says, well, Shimon told me, or Reuven told me, that he owes Shimon $100,000. One said, that's pretty good. In front of myself and my friend, we're not related. Reuven admitted to us, I owe him $100,000. And he wasn't drunk. And he wasn't high. He was talking to us straight. Well, that sounds pretty good. We're going to see in a second. Not good. Alternatively, I heard from Sharon and Charlie that Reuven admitted to them that he owes $100,000. That's the two circumstances. Im Amar, if he said again, Hu Amar li she'ani hayav lo, Reuven told me that he owes Shimon $100,000. Alternatively, Ish Peloni Amar li shu hayav lo. Someone else told me that Reuven owes Shimon the money. The second one is called Ed Mipi Ed. That's already secondhand. But what's about that one? We can understand to a certain extent. It's removed enough from my testimony. Bring the initial guys if they know. But what's wrong with, he admitted to me, Lo Amar kelum. It's considered nothing. Why is it considered nothing? We'll see in the Gemara, but I'll tell you already. It works as follows. We assume or we suspect that a person who has a certain amount of money, any amount of money, there's a certain, not a full amount, there's a certain shame to it. I don't want to be seen as the wealthy guy, as the guy who has all the money. And as a result, if you walk up to me and say, wow, you're looking good, you say, the truth is, I have debt to this guy, and I owe that guy $100,000, and so on and so forth. You might be lying about that. You're doing it to save your own name, because you don't want to be known as the wealthy guy, as the rich person. That's what we call in the Gemara, Mishate ani becha. Mishate, almost milashon shtut. I was playing with you. I wasn't serious. It might be in circumstance. That's the general circumstance. I'm lying. I mean, it could be for any reason. I don't want you to now come and rob from me. I don't want to ruin my name. I don't want to be known as that. I don't want... What's that? Ayin hara. In other words, people are going to be talking to me in such a fashion. And any and every other circumstance or situation you could figure out, that's the claim. So as a result, my admission, if it's not in front of the guy that I'm claiming or stating owes me the money, it's worthless because we assume Mishate ani becha, I'm just playing with the circumstance. Furthermore, we'll see in the Gemara, even if I owe Eddie $100,000 and I state it in front of two witnesses, you know, Eddie, I owe you $100,000, but I don't state atem edai, I don't designate them as my witnesses, we furthermore say, I wasn't so serious about that. I was just saying it without designating them as witnesses, even though it's in the context, it's in the presence of the other guy, the guy whom I claimed owes me the money. That's the statement here in the Mishnah. So again, Imamar, who amar li shani hayav lo, even though Reuven is admitting to the fact that he owes Shimon the money, it's worthless. He can and will claim Mishate ani becha. Ish veloni amar li shu hayav lo, lo amar kelum ad, shiyomar befanenu hoda lo shu hayav lo matayim zuz. Until it's the witnesses are able to say, Befanenu hoda. Those are important words. The Gemara will be medayek what I just told you. From those words, befanenu means in front of our face. Those are extra words. I could just say in the Mishnah, he said that he owes him 100,000 dollars. It says befanenu hoda. Befanenu means in our faces, which means, says the Gemara, he designated myself and the other witness as the witnesses. It's got to be formal. Otherwise, we assume he's not telling the truth. Okay, that's the initial stage. So the initial stages were, me'ayimin alehim. There's some sort of threat that's leveled at these witnesses to make sure that they're telling the truth. Furthermore, we check, tell us exactly how you know what you know. Not what you know, how do you know it? Because that's very important as well. Ahakach, last stage. Machnisin et hasheni, not last stage, but one of the next last stages. Machnisin et hasheni, this was all in front of the gadol sheba'edim, the greater of the witnesses. Now we bring in the other one. Of course, we want to cross-examine them. We want to make sure that their words match up. Ubotkin oto, we ask him identical questions. Im nimzu divrehen mechuvanim, if their words are parallel, if they match up with one another. Nosin venotnim badavar, last stage is that the judges now have a give and take. They deliberate, they discuss this matter. Did you hear what he said? Here's the counter evidence, and so on and so forth. And we then come to a conclusion as judges. Shinaim omrim zakai v'had omer hayav. If it's two who say he's innocent and one says he's guilty, what's the halacha? Zakai, of course. We go based on the majority. Shinaim omrim hayav v'had omer zakai. The flip side, two say guilty, one says innocent. Hayav. Echad omer hayav v'had omer zakai. What if there are three? One makes a claim, one makes a decision, innocent. The other says guilty, and the third, not sure. Mabarif, what do you do in such a circumstance? Afilu shenai mezakim. What if two say innocent? Or shenai mechayivim. Two say guilty, but the third says, I'm not certain. Now, by definition, it's a majority. It's a majority. Who cares about the third one? Echad omer eni yodea, yosifu hadayanim. You need a conclusion based on the will and minds and decisions of three people. If one of them says, I don't know, he's as if he doesn't exist. Move him to the side and bring in more judges. We need to finish this based on at least three people. Now, when we bring in more, we generally speaking will bring in two more, which of course will pose a problem of now. Betin Shakul, if it's Shakul, you bring in two more until you're able to figure it out in that type of circumstance. But again, it's important, says the Mishnah, that each one of them have a decision. When it comes down to it, if he's saying any yodea, that could pose problems. Because it's true he's saying any yodea. But we want to hear not only the bottom line, we want to hear the reasoning behind each one of them. If two say hayav, and then one says, I don't know, we say to him, why are you uncertain? I'm just not certain. Not enough. We need to hear your decision, so maybe our decision will be swayed and changed. It's necessary that each of them have a decision so that they can hear the other one out and make a final decision. That's what the Mishnah says. You need to have three who make a decision.
If two say guilty, and the third doesn't know, why not just say innocent? Like, what's the...
Again, we need the claim of the third, because the third will be able to sway potentially the decisions of those other two. Right? In other words, if he just says, I don't know, you're useless over here. We're here to deliberate, not just to make a decision, to deliberate. You say, I don't know, get out of here. We need someone who says either Hayav or Zakai so we can hear it and say why and have a discussion about it.
The way it works is that they all give the judgment together, or is...
They're in the midst of determining. They're discussing. If the third one says, I don't know, he abstains, you're out, we need someone who will discuss. In the bottom line, they will not say, we'll see it in a second, publicly, who determined what. They give the bottom line and nothing more. It says, Gamru et ha-davar. Okay, they finished. They made a decision. Hayav, zakai, guilty, innocent, whatever it is. Machnisin otan. Hagadol shebadayanim omer, ish ploni ata zakai, ish ploni ata hayav. You bring back in the Ba'alei Hadinim, the litigants. The Gemara will ask on Daf Lamed, where were they? They didn't hear the testimony. Of course they heard the testimony. Why were they outside? What's with Machnisin? Okay, the Gemara will deal with that. And then the greatest in stature of the Dayanim turns to the two litigants and says, you're Hayav and you're Zakai. You're the one who won this case. You're the one who lost this case. Okay. Minayin lich sheyese lo yomar ani mezake v'haverai mechayevin. How do you know that when he, meaning the Gadol Sheb Dayanim, gives the final verdict, he's not allowed to, he's not supposed to say, listen, I thought you were innocent. These other two important people thought you were guilty. They win, you win, or you lose as a result. How do you know he's not supposed to talk like that? Well, of course, we know, before it even quotes Pesukim, that's going to grow, that's going to breed animosity. It's putting myself in the good light and putting them now in a problematic situation with you. You can't talk like that. This is the bottom line. No discussions, no explanations. How do you know? Azeh ne'emar, lo telech rachil be'amecha, ve'omer, holech rachil megale sod. One's a pasuk in the Torah, the other one's a pasuk in Mishle. What's a rachil? A rachil is a peddler. When the Torah says, lo telech rachil be'amecha, means don't walk around with your mouth like a peddler. So, rechilut, lashon hara, motzi shemra. We're dealing with a person who talks inappropriately. When you talk inappropriately, we've all seen it. It's someone who walks around, spreads word from one to the next, asks people what they think. That's lo telech rachil be'amecha. We've all been privy, unfortunately, to such a reality at some point or another. And then the last pasuk, Holech rachil migale sod. It's not just that it's a violation from the Torah. You should know it's even worse than that. When you do so, you'll be exposing something that you shouldn't be exposing. It's inappropriate. It's going to breed, as I said, animosity and bad feeling. Okay, that's the Mishnah. The Mishnah, again, fundamentally described what takes place in dinei mamonot, in financial disputes in court, just in terms of the practical decision-making, the bringing the edim in, the accepting them, the checking them, and so forth. Okay, says the Gemara, that initial line in the Mishnah, the initial line was, me'ayimin alehin, you threaten the witnesses. How do you threaten them? What do you say to them? What is a proper threat to make them understand the severity, the seriousness of this circumstance? Hechi amrinan lehu, how do we say to them? In other words, what do we say to them? In a basic sense, I can imagine you add in subjective lines as well as judges. You want to make sure these guys are actually taking it seriously. But what's the general structure of what should be discussed? Amar Rav Yehuda, hache amrinan lehu. Says Rav Yehuda, the following should be said. You cite them something like the Pasuk in Mishle. Pasuk in Mishle says, Nisi'im veruach vegeshem ayin. Let's stop right there in the Pasuk for a second. Nisi'im veruach. Nisi'im in this context is a reference to clouds. Ruach means winds. There are clouds out and there's winds blowing. It's one of those days you wake up in the morning, you know it's going to rain. It's like my mother does always say, you feel it in your bones. Rain is coming. V'geshem ayin, but there's no rain. You want to know why there's no rain? Ish mitalel b'matat sheker, says the Pasuk. It's because someone is lying. In other words, the description of the Pasuk is false speaking, false speech, acting wrongfully, acting in a dishonest fashion, will alter the reality of existence. There won't be rain, the necessary sustenance for the world, if you're lying. It's a bold statement in the Pasuk. It's certainly something, if it's that type of person who hears that by lying, you're going to be negatively affecting existence. Hopefully they'll hear it. I'll return to this Pasuk in just a second. That's the way you threaten them. Say to them, what you're about to say isn't just affecting these two guys. It's affecting existence. We're going to be affected nationally, internationally, globally. The world will not be the same because of your lie. Amar le Rava, says Rava, you know something, Rav Yehuda? I don't think that's a good enough threat. יחלה לממר שב שנה הווה כפנה ואבבה ומנה לחליף. The witnesses might say to themselves, Shav Shani. Shav means seven in Aramaic. Shav means Milashon Sheva. Seven. Shane, years. 7 years Hava Kafna. Kafna refers to a famine or a drought. They might say to one another or to themselves, you know something? There could be a 7 year drought. However, Abava, Abava means the gate. Umana means a craftsman. Lahalif. It won't hit the gates of a craftsman. What's that claim? The claim is, you know something, not so crazy. So we'll affect existence. There'll be a drought as a result of us. We'll be okay. You know, I got a good job. I'm not in agriculture. I'm not trading in grains. And as a result, you know, I'm not going to lose my money. It's only an issue if you're in that. It's not going to affect me. It's not going to affect so many people. I'll be all right. Okay, so as a result, Rava will say you need a better threat. What's with that threat? What's with the pasuk? I mean, that's what affects rain. And it doesn't just say sustenance the way I've been describing it. It's rain. Rain is affected through false testimony in the eyes of the rabbis.
It's really very deep. I mean, you think about it, it's...
Yeah.
Rain controls the whole world, though.
Indeed. Rain is the source of existence, no question. Why false testimony and rain?
Sounds like the world is false.
Indeed. So I'm just going to take it a step further. Along the same lines, I'm just going to do an Avi Harari Derasha here. It goes like this. First and foremost, we learned in the first Perek that judgment is not something that's just done in the court. It is Derech Adonai, right? La'asot tzedaka u'mishpat. It's a pasuk in Perek Yod Chet in the Bereshit. That God turns to Avraham and he says to him, you do derech Hashem, you follow my way, la'asot tzedaka u'mishpat. Being a person who affects and properly acts in a just and righteous fashion, that is the way of God. The Gemara told us furthermore, if you wrongfully judge, you're like destroying existence. Right, so already that's aligning with this. Furthermore, rain as the source of existence is our mandate in the eyes of the Chachamim. If you remember, the pasuk says in Bereshit at the very beginning, Adam ayin la'avod et ha'adama. There was no human being to work the ground, and therefore lo himtir. God hadn't brought forth the rain. It's an interesting pasuk. Says Rashi from the Midrash, what it means is, before there's a human being, la'avod, to do avodah shebalev, to pray for rain, there's no rain coming down, which means to say, as human beings, our connection to God is about bringing support to this world, manifested through, in the greatest, most simple fashion, rain. Well, that being the case, here's the description. We turn to these witnesses and we say, you guys are going to be altering existence. Existence is built on Derech Hashem, which is Tzedakah U'Mishpat. That's the opposite, the antithesis of Sheker, of lying. And in turn, you'll be ruining everything we've been working for, which of course is, quote unquote, bringing the rains. Okay, says the Gemara onward, Amar Rava, Ela Amar Rava, rather says Rava, a different threat will level at them. This is what you say, Amrinan Lehu, we state to them a different pasuk in Sefer Mishle, Mefitz Veherev Vehetz Shanun. These are different weapons. Rashi says weapons of Malach HaMavet. So the sharp arrows and swords and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, what about them? Ish one bere'ehu ed sheker. A person who testifies falsely about the other one brings the angel of death. It's not looking good. From your false testimony, but what do you mean? I'm dealing with financial circumstance. It's not about this situation. It's about what you're doing. Talking falsely, lying in court will bring forth plague. It'll bring forth COVID. I don't know, something like that, right? That's the statement over here. Right, that's pretty strong and bold as well, especially if the guy accepts the words of Mishle. Amar le Rav Asher. Rav Asher turns to Rav and he goes, I don't think that's enough. Not enough. You're saying that if you lie, you're going to bring death? I mean, that's not enough. Yachle le'mimar. They might say to themselves, Shav shane hava motana. It's been 7 years, or sometimes it's a 7 year plague. It should not be a 7 year plague for us, right? Whatever, it's a 7 year death period. But you should know, the inish belashane la shachif. There's been no one before their appropriate time in a young, ripe age who's passed away. So they might say to themselves wrongfully, yeah, it's true, we've had David, we've had some sort of terrible plague that hit us. Yeah, some people died, the ones who were most vulnerable. Everyone else who was strong and going to live anyway, they haven't died. Now, they're wrong in saying it again, but they're rationalizing. I mean, have we not heard these sorts of rationalizations today? You know, yeah, not really. It's not that dangerous. That's the claim. They'll say it's true. We'll bring forth some sort of danger, but that sort of danger is not really a threat to us. They're wrong about it. But says Rav Asher, since they could rationalize in such a fashion, we need to be stronger with them or different in our threat to them. Ela amar Rav Asher, amar li Natan bar mor zutra amrinan lehu. This is what we say to them. No need to mention a pasuk. Speak to them based on their own psyche. Sahadeh shakre aograyhu zili. It says, sahadeh means witnesses. Shakre means lying. Liars, right? So lying witnesses, false witnesses. Aograyhu. Ogir means to be socher, means to hire. You should know that even the witnesses, even those who hired you, or those who hire false witnesses, you're a zift in their eyes. You think you're walking out, you're getting paid off well. You should know, the guy who potentially hired you to lie, he thinks that you are the lowest of the low. Now you're speaking to their psyche. You're talking to them and saying, you think at least, you think you might be walking out of here with a lot of money. You'll have a lot of money. You've lost all your honors. And you might say to yourself, no, I didn't lose my honor with the guy who hired me. You should know, even the guy who hired you thinks you're a lowlife for accepting this. And dichtiv, as the pasuk says, we'll explain the context in just a second. Ve'oshivu shenayim anashim b'nei Belial nechdo vi'id. The circumstance is the following. Ahav's wife, Ahav was Melech Israel at a specific time, not a good one. His wife's name was Izevil, not a good wife either. Don't name your daughter Jezebel or whatever. There was a restaurant downtown Manhattan for some time. Still around? Closed. Yeah. It was a big deal. That was when I was rabbiing in downtown Manhattan. It was a big, big deal that they were opening it and naming that. And the OU was giving the Hechsher and they wanted them to at least change the name. Anyway, Izevil, there's a fellow Navot who owns a land and Ahav wants it. Says Izevil, I know how to get him off. Get two false witnesses. Let them say that he's Hayav Mitah, that he cursed the king and he cursed this, whatever. And that's what. But when she describes what we're going to do, says Izevil, let's hire two Bnei Belial. Two Bnei Belial means two bad guys. That means the one who's going to be hiring the false witnesses is calling the witnesses themselves bad guys, evildoers. So you turn to these witnesses and you say, you're ruining your reputation. You lost all honor if you're going through with this, because even the guy who hired you, you know, it's like out of the movies where you finally get to the lower level mafia guy and you say, you know what, your guy, whatever, everything for me comes back to Lion King when I was younger, right? Lion King, at the end of the movie, Scar is sparring off with his nephew Simba, and Simba turns to the hyenas and he basically brings them in. The hyenas had been following Scar, the bad guy. And Scar then badmouths those guys who had been following him for so much time. They thought they had one lion who finally respected them in Scar. Scar, he got him. Once Simba exposed that your guy thinks you're a nothing, the hyenas are willing to take him down as well. Simba doesn't need to do anything at this point. It's that circumstance. Say to them, you think you are at least in the bad guys' camp. They respect you. You're nothing to them as well. Anyway, that's the Iyum over here. I'm glad we got some Lion King into this. Says the Gemara onward. Im amar hu amar li v'chule ad shiyomeru befanenu hodalo shu hayav lo matayim zuz. Right? The Mishnah continued and it said, if the claim of the witnesses is he admitted to us that he owns, Reuven owes Shimon, it's not sufficient until they're able to say, Befanenu hoda, I told you what those words mean, in our face, meaning we were appointed to be there. Otherwise, we say, the claim of Reuven is, Meshateani Becha. I was just playing.
Well, go ahead. Says that the defendant admitted to the plaintiff in our presence.
That's right.
The plaintiff has to be present as well.
Befanenu hoda to that guy, 100%. If it's not in front of him, it's worthless. It's even more worthless, 100%. Because if it's not in front of him, remember, that's what I was explaining to you earlier. It's because I don't want to look like the wealthy guy. I don't want the ayin hara. I don't want people, you know, all that sort of stuff. Misayeh lele Rav Yehuda, says the Gemara, this is support for Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda's opinion, his statement is, as we mentioned just a few minutes ago, Amar Yehuda Amarav, Sarich Sheyomar Atem Idai. Period. It's necessary in a financial dispute for the witnesses to claim and to state he appointed us witnesses. If he didn't appoint us witnesses formally, then he can claim the guy, the defense. I was never serious about
this. That means there's no more claim, I'm saying.
What do you mean?
If I don't appoint witnesses, if I hear something, it's
in a financial dispute, hearing, and listen, if you testify that you saw Joey Levy lend me $100,000, that's okay. That's something different. That's a different, no, not with appointment. We're talking about in a circumstance where you heard me admit or him admit that they owe the money. That you need appointment of witnesses. That makes sense, because we talk in one way and we mean something else. Unless you did it formally, we can't assume your words were actually serious. What's up, Jesse?
No, we're assuming that he's doing it. This is after the case.
After the case.
It's not that they didn't bear witness to the actual transaction.
Correct. Correct. If they were if they were witnesses to the actual transaction, kosher. No, you know.
So these witnesses, are thrown out, and the person got to find
more witnesses.
Yes. Not like listening.
That's right. If they weren't appointed witnesses, or they just heard it in that way, nothing. You're not good enough. You have better witnesses.
How are we supposed to understand this in the sense that words are always binding? We feel like usually, why do I have to demonstrate something?
Words mean something, but context oftentimes means even more. Because you can claim these words were meant in one way as taken out of context. When we say those words all the time, yeah, but your words have meaning and they have power. That's true. And you'll be responsible for them very often. But we also need to be sensitive to the context, do we not? I mean, no, you know what I'm saying? That comes up all the time. You know, someone says something and then others attack them for it. It's just completely out of context. And they have a defense oftentimes. So that's the point over here. If it was out of context, my words meant nothing, or they meant something completely different. Itmar Nameh, says the Gemara, in fact, the statement of Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav was said by others. Amar Bihya Baraba, Amar Biyohanan, Manali Biyadecha. If I turn to Joey and I say, you know, you owe me a mana, you owe me $100,000. Amar Lohin, says Joey, yeah, it's true. Lemahar Amar Lo Teneuli. The next day I turn to Joey, Joe, can you pay the $100,000, the mana? Amar mishate ani becha. I says, no, I was just joking around. I wasn't serious. You confronted me in front of everyone. I didn't want to seem like that, whatever. Patur. But I said, but I have witnesses. I said, I never appointed them witnesses. It's not what I meant. Tanyana meache, says the Gemara. In fact, we have a beraita, which directly accords to this as well. Not only a moraim, not only a diyuk, a careful reading of the Mishnah, but an explicit beraita. What does the beraita say? Manali biyadecha. Reuven turns to Shimon and says, you owe me $100,000. Amar lohen. He says, indeed I do. It's an admission. Lemahar amar lo teneuli. The next day he says, okay, so pay up. Amar lo mishateh ani becha. If his claim in turn is, I was just playing with you, patur. Okay, that's explicit. Makes a lot of sense in my mind. Velo od. Furthermore, you should know, the same idea, but even further of a circumstance. Afilu hichmin lo edim ahore gader. I'm with Joey Levy, and I want Joey to admit to me. So I take these two witnesses, I put them behind the defense. He doesn't know they're there. It's not a formal appointment. Ve'amar lo manali biyadecha. And I say to Joey, hey Joe, you owe me $100,000. Amar lo hin. He says, indeed. So now I respond to Joey in front of the witnesses, but he doesn't know the witnesses are there. I say to him, Resoncha shetodeh bifnei ploni uploni. You want to go to court and you'll admit in front of Sharon and Charlie? Says Joey to me, Amalo mityare ani, sheme tachpeni ladin. I'm a little bit nervous about this. I don't really want to go to the court. I get intimidated by large pillars and by rabbis and all that sort of stuff. I'm not interested. I admit it to you. Chalas. Now, again, you have a circumstance where it's hard for him to claim now, I was just playing with you. He's saying, I would do it in front of witnesses. I just don't want to go to court. He doesn't know those witnesses are there. What's the halacha? Lemahara marlo teneuli. I told Joey, can I have the money? He says, well, I was playing with you. Amarlo mishateani becha. Playing. I said, what do you mean? You said you would do it in front of witnesses. You just didn't want to get involved. Patur. Such a circumstance is patur. I said, there were witnesses. I said, I didn't know there were witnesses. If I knew there were witnesses, I never would have said those words. But you were so explicit. I was explicit because it was a non-threatening context and situation. I was playing with you because of this reason, because of that reason. You can't make any claims. That's the halacha.
That means the recording may be the same thing.
Indeed. If it's, in other words, as says Jeffrey, in today's day and age, if it was recorded, even in that situation, that's right, out of context, it will not be binding. We'll say you can't take the guy's words as being truthful and honest in that context. He can make claims. Concludes the Beraita over here, ve'entu'anin la'mesit, period. And we don't make claims for a mesit. Mesit is a segment in the Torah where a person misleads another into doing avodah zarah. That's called mesit. There's mesit, there's mediach. It means I convince this guy to do avodah zarah. I get put to death if I do so. Says the Beraita in its concluding words, you should know, we don't defend, we don't make claims like that for the mesit, for the guy who, wow, what does it got to do with anything? Says the Gemara, mesit, it's gone from A to Z. We're in the middle of talking about financial disputes and testimony and witnesses and all that. And now you jumped into talking about mesit, avodah zarah. Says the Gemara, mesit, man dachar shemeh. Mesit, man mi dachar, he's here mentioned shemeh. Who talked about a mesit? We're talking about financial issues. Says the Gemara, okay, all right, got it. There was a few words missing in this beraita. Hasure mechsera v'hache katane. Hasure mechsera, haser means to be absent. A few words missing in this beraita. And we'll fill them in and you'll understand the connection between what we said initially and the mesit. How so? Here's what v'hache katane. This is what the beraita truly should have said. Im lo ta'an in to'anin lo. Right, if it's a dispute between me and Joey Levy, and Joey does not respond again. Let me just put it all together. I say to Joey, "You owe me $100,000." Says it's true. We have witnesses. He didn't appoint the witnesses. He doesn't know about them, but they're in front of us. They're here, and I bring him to court the next day. I go, "Hey, Joey, you owe me $100,000. You admit it," and he just keeps quiet. He has to pay up. En to'aninlo. We don't make a ta'ana for him. We don't open his mouth and say he was saying meshate ani becha. Ubidine nefashot afal gav de la ta'an to'anin lo. That's in contrast to a life and death circumstance. I'll take Joey out of it. I don't want anyone getting nervous. It's between me and the person sitting over there. There's no one sitting over there, right? And I testify. I say about this guy, I saw you murder that other person. He makes no defense claim. No defense claim. Now, based on mine and Joey Levy's circumstance, all right, we keep quiet. You don't make a defense claim. That's it. Joey, you owe me $100,000. You didn't say Mishate Ani Becha. We're not helping you out. If I make a claim about this guy, you murdered someone in such a circumstance, to Anino. The severity of putting someone to death, we as judges, we as lawyers, will open our mouth and defend him. Okay, so that's the contrast between Dine Mamonot and Dine Nefashot. Concludes the Beraita, Ven Tu'anin Lemesit. That's on all life and death circumstances except for Mesit. If it's Mesit, a guy who is misleading others to do Avodah Zarah, even though we could help them out with some counterclaim to save their life, we don't do so. In most Dine Nefashot, we do. So that's going to Maishina Mesit. Why is it that Mesit, and circumstance of the guy who's misleading to Avodah Zarah, we don't? Amar b'hama bar hanina mipirkei d'Rabbi Baraba shemi'ali shane Mesit d'Rahmana amar lo tahmo v'lo techase alav. And so the reason is, the Torah says explicitly about the Mesit, don't have compassion or mercy on him. You know what that means, don't have compassion or mercy? Don't help him out. If there's claims against him to put him to death, that's it. You don't help him out. Other Dine Nefashot, to save someone's life, speak up. Bring the defense for them. Dine Mamonot, not necessary. Mesit, absolutely not. And we'll conclude with this. Amar b'Shmuel bar Nachman, Amar b'Yonatan, minayin she'en to'anin l'mesit. How do you know that we don't give the defense claim for the Mesit? Minahasha kadmoni. We learn it from Nahasha kadmoni de'amar b'Simlai. Who's Nahasha kadmoni? Of course, the first serpent, Adam and Hava. We'll explain in a second how we learn it from him. De'amar b'Simlai. Harbe ta'anot hayalo la Nahash lit'on. Velo ta'an. There were many claims of defense that the snake, that the serpent, the Nahash could have made to God as God was about to punish him in the beginning of Bereshit. But he didn't make the claim. We're going to talk about it in the Gemara right now. So why didn't God save him? After all, when we're saving lives, we make the defense claim. Because he couldn't make that, he didn't make that claim himself. And give me 1 second. And to Anin le Mesit, right? And Nahash misled to go against God. What could the Nahash could have claimed? What could the Nahash have claimed? Divrei Harav, Divrei HaTalmid, Divrei Mishomim. The Nahash could have and should have defended himself by saying, "Wait a second, I'm the Talmid, I'm the student. Who's the Rav? God." God told you don't eat from that tree. I said eat from that tree. You listen to me? I'm just the student. That should have been his claim. I didn't think Chava was going to take me seriously. I made that claim. It wasn't a persuasive claim, eat from that tree. I was going against the master. That's a claim that he could have made and he would have defended himself. God doesn't open up his mouth. For the Nahash, we learn from that, Entoanin Lamesit, in a circumstance of an individual who's bringing people away from God to Avodah Zarah, we won't defend. To the extent that we bring a proof from the first sin in the Torah, the Nahash, it's Perush Rashi in the Torah, could have claimed, Divrei Arav, Divrei Atami, Divrei Mishomim. I wasn't serious, I was joking around. I wanted to see how she would laugh at my claim. She listened to me? Why would she listen to me? In fact, the halacha is En Shaliach Lidvar Avera. If I send a person to sin, even though in general what they do follows its way back to me, if I tell someone, go and steal from that person, they're responsible, not me. Why are they responsible? They were just listening to my word. They're my Shaliach. I can claim and should claim. I didn't think they would even listen to me. It's on them. They did it on their own mind. They couldn't have been listening to me over God. Amen.